Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for physical therapists nationwide. An exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619.
Great Seminars Online is the only clinician-owned continuing education company specializing in geriatric rehabilitation. Amazing instructors like Carol Lewis and Richard Bohannon bring content to life with five-hour courses for PTs, OTs, and SLPs. Check out Gait and Balance or documentation and you'll be hooked. Find out more online at greatseminarsonline.com. Great Seminars Online, maximizing geriatric function.
This is the PT Pinecast. And we're on the road, live from Miami. We packed the cooler full of beer and took the show on the road. We talk PT, drink beers, and record it. This is the PT Pinecast, recorded live from the National Student Conclave in Miami, Florida. Proudly supported by the American Physical Therapy Association. With your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The next episode of the PT Pinecast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our next guest has been a PT for 26 years with a bachelor's degree from Hunter College, City University in New York. She has a master's degree in health education and a DPT from Stony Brook University. She also has a PhD in public health from West Virginia University. She's a certified wound specialist and a certified health education specialist. She's currently an assistant professor at the Department of Rehabilitation Sciences, Florida Gulf Coast University, where the mascot is Azul the Eagle. Her research interest focuses on health promotion and wellness using evidence-based patient education, including motivational interviewing. Next guest on the PT Pinecast, welcome Rose Pignataro.
Thank you so much.
Did I do it right? I said it right?
You did.
That is a very pretty last name.
Oh, thank you. It's Italian.
It's very nice.
Thank you.
They say everything's so pretty over there. So your research and your dissertation is interesting, especially from somebody with a physical therapy background, but also you have that health promotion, the health education background too. Talk to us a little bit about tobacco cessation.
Sort of an unusual field. And originally, I think people were a little surprised that I took to it. I got interested in tobacco cessation when I was at WVU. I worked at the Prevention Research Center there, and I was mostly interested in learning more of the mechanics of how to do research in general and not necessarily the topic, although I thought the topic was interesting. Sort of from an outside perspective. Yeah. And what I actually learned was that people with disabilities experience all kinds of health-related disparities related to tobacco. One of the things that drew me in was that as I was a grad student, I learned that people with disabilities are two times as likely to smoke as people without disabilities.
Wow.
So for me as a physical therapist, that obviously attracted my attention.
And then what does that do, just from my head? Slow tissue healing.
Absolutely.
Poor cardiovascular response.
Absolutely.
Poor circulation. So now you're adding, more dysfunction on dysfunction.
Right.
It can't be good.
Right. And it's really across the board. I mean, for some of us, depending on our area of specialization, it's pretty obvious. So, tobacco and the wound healing, that's an obvious connection. But what I learned through my research was that it has an impact even on muscle tissue,
wow.
Muscle metabolism, the healing rates for tendons, for ligaments. So if you're treating somebody even with a sports injury that uses tobacco, whether it be from cigarettes or dip or chew.
Really? Even that?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay.
Yep. The nicotine is the blood flow.
We often just think of the smoke.
Right.
We often just think of, the smoke, but not, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, neither did I until I started looking at it in
wow.
more detail.
Okay.
I really thought more about, the smoke and the lung damage
yeah.
and not necessarily as much as about the nicotine itself.
What the nicotine
right.
does. So you got your feet wet with research there. You liked
mm-hmm.
the topic. And then did you continue on?
Yeah, as I went through tobacco cessation counseling, that's how I became acquainted with motivational interviewing.
And this is an interesting topic. When we were looking at the presenters here and who we wanted to talk to, that one jumped out because that's also very, very out of left field. What is motivational interviewing? I want to be motivated, and I interview people. So what is it?
Right. In general, PTs tend to be really motivated,
okay.
right? So we love what we do, and
right.
it shows, and hopefully some of that rubs off on our patients. But patients themselves need to be invested in their plan of care. So it's important that we explore what motivates them and use that as a strength when you're coming up with the treatment plan together. So motivational interviewing is real patient-centered. It uses a collaborative approach to goal setting and to the plan of care itself. It explores the reasons for and against making a certain change in behavior. If, say, we're treating somebody with back pain and we think that their behaviors, such as weight management, are interfering with their outcomes, it's important to get the patient's perspective on that, whether or not they've tried unsuccessfully in the past to lose weight, whether or not they perceive that as something important in terms of their recovery, their intention to change. Mm-hmm. So if they feel like this is an issue, are they invested in making that change? And if they are invested, what do they see as some of the potential challenges in that? And allowing the patient the freedom to identify solutions that would work for them.
Because when it's their choice, they're probably more likely to do it.
Absolutely. And you know that who knows you better than yourself, yeah. Right? So as much as we have expertise as physical therapists, the patients know themselves the best.
Right.
So they know what's going to work within the framework within the context of their own lives.
I do something similarly. I'll say, you know, they'll ask, well, what's the best exercise for me to get better with this issue? I'll start off with, what do you like?
Right.
Because you're not going to, if I give you something you don't like, you're never going to do it. We both lose.
Absolutely. And that's pretty much, you know, we think of motivational interviewing as sort of this innovative technique, and it is. It was originally developed by psychologists for use with people with addictions.
Right.
But for us as physical therapists, a lot of the techniques that they talk about are very intuitive. We're masters at patient education. We're often asking our patients, what are your goals? Like what you just mentioned, you know, what do you enjoy doing? The motivational interviewing feeds right into that, because we're talking about things like what works for you, what doesn't work for you, what do you think might be challenging about following these types of interventions or recommendations moving forward. And so when we talk about the challenges, that allows us to see whether or not our recommendations are compatible. And if they're not compatible, what are the patient's ideas?
Right.
So, and often the best ideas come from the patients.
Right. They might not even know. Them saying it out loud and answering your question might actually cause them to think, oh yeah, I could do that. It sounds like motivational interviewing would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, the ICF model with active listening, mm-hmm. and just straight up paying attention to the person sitting in front of you. It sounds like that's what motivational interviewing is.
Yeah, it's definitely closely tied to the ICF model, that biopsychosocial perspective. So not only looking at the individual, but looking at their environment and whether or not the environment empowers them to make that change.
Wow.
If I give somebody recommendations for a physical activity program, but they don't have the resources to carry that out, right there we might talk about the patient not being adherent to our recommendations, but our recommendations are not in line with their expectations or what they're able to do.
So you've continued on in your research, and mm-hmm. you're still working with some tobacco cessation research, mm-hmm. and you're working among college students using the U.S. Public Health Service clinical guidelines. Talk a little bit about that.
U.S. Public Health Service has guidelines for tobacco cessation counseling. The acronym is called the 5 A's.
Okay.
So basically, it involves the tenets of motivational interviewing. So we ask you about
tying these things together.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, you're putting your skills together to receive a better outcome. So what are they?
Those 5 A's talk about asking the patient. So we're assessing, you know, what's their tobacco use. Also, level of nicotine addiction, which is really important, because if you have somebody with a physiologic component to their behavior, such as a nicotine addiction, it's going to make it that much more challenging for them to successfully quit. So recommending different resources like nicotine replacement therapy can be very helpful. One of the other aspects that attracted me as a physical therapist is the use of physical activity to reduce withdrawal symptoms.
So not just medication.
Right, absolutely.
Something else.
So originally they thought that the exercise act as a diversion or a replacement activity.
Right.
And what they found is that it actually has physiologic impacts as well because of the nicotinic receptors throughout the central nervous system. The exercise, because of the production of endogenous opiates, actually physiologically takes the edge off the withdrawals as well.
Wow. So if you're going to try to quit smoking, maybe picking up walking or exercising
right.
is going, because it's going to help.
Right. It'll help
lessen.
And not
just it's something else to do.
Right.
Good.
It'll help physiologically lessen
right.
the withdrawal symptoms. The other thing that it does is it builds confidence in the ability to engage in healthy behaviors. Because if you're already exercising, you're less willing to damage what you've already accomplished
right.
in terms of better health.
You went for a run for a half hour, maybe not smoking 2 cigarettes is going to take that away.
Right. There's lots of close ties between different types of healthy
and
behaviors.
And also just thinking here is not doing something bad isn't the same as doing something good.
Correct.
So if you stop smoking, then okay, you're back to zero. But if you start walking or exercising, that's actually a a step in the positive direction,
correct,
not just a step not towards a negative direction.
Absolutely.
Maybe that was too many negatives. I don't know. I lost it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Absolutely.
So what are the other eight?
You assess, I guess, for the nicotine addiction, and then you advise. But one of the things that motivational interviewing talks about is that your advice needs to be really tailored to that individual.
Going back to their specific ICF model.
Right. And it needs to be relevant. So, you know, if I have an 18-year-old, say, with a rotator cuff injury because of participation in sports, and their sports performance is what's important to them, I'm not going to talk to that person about tobacco cessation within the context of, say, cardiovascular disease or lung cancer, etc.
Right.
I'm going to pick something that's specific to them and what's important.
Yeah.
Right. So we may talk about how tobacco use compromises ligamentous healing, how it can contribute to capsular tightness.
Before I forget, you're someone I want to ask. I had a CI early on in my PT career, and she pretty much said, if you have a patient who comes in and you can kind of smell, because you can smell it on them,
mm-hmm,
they're a smoker, you can pretty much add 2 weeks to any normal healing time.
Right.
Is that pretty much, you know, like a rule
of thumb? I don't know about the, it's definitely an important point. I don't know if there's any research that definitively says
that
how
just,
much
that was
longer.
Just from her experience. She's like, you know what?
Yeah.
If you can smell it, just add 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And that's normal.
The specificness of that time frame, I'm not sure about, but they're absolutely going to have delays in healing.
Okay. So continue on with the rest of the A's. What were they again?
Ask, assess, advise, assist is the next one. So recommending resources for people, assisting the patient in finding the strategies that will work the best for them. If they do have, say, a nicotine dependence, maybe helping them arrange for nicotine replacement therapy, offering to call the referring provider, maybe to arrange for a prescription, or if they need some kind of counseling, maybe for stress reduction, if they say that tobacco is a way for handling stress, maybe making those types of referrals to other healthcare providers.
Cool.
Online resources, there are smoking cessation classes
so
locally.
So giving them something besides just what you're offering as well.
Right. I mean, honestly, usually when we do tobacco cessation counseling as a physical therapist, it's not the crux of what we want to do. So it happens within the context of the rest of the plan of care, and it's brief counseling. That's the guideline. So about 5 to 7 minutes. And sometimes that 7 minutes is divided over several sessions. So the biggest thing that we want to do is sort of get the patient motivated to change their behavior, decide that it is important, that they are willing and able to change, and then referring them so that they're able to access the proper resources. Support them in their behavior change.
I lost count. Was that all 5 A's?
Nope. The last one is arrange.
There we go.
We always want to follow up with our patients.
Okay.
It's sort of a process. So we don't expect people to quit overnight. And it takes people several attempts before they're successful in the long run.
Yeah.
So emphasizing that any health behavior change is likely to have little lapses or almost temporary setbacks. But looking at those within a positive framework, that those are opportunities to sort of learn what works well for you, what doesn't work well, and in terms of what doesn't work well, using that to identify different strategies and resources for moving ahead.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, we learned before it takes about 3 weeks, 21 days to form a habit.
Right.
Imagining it takes that long, if not longer, to unbreak a habit tobacco use.
You have both physiologic and psychological dependence, so you have to address both.
We gotta go pay some student loans. We'll be right back.
Great seminars and books, driving continuous improvement in geriatric rehabilitation with 20-hour live courses for PTs and OTs, filled with great evidence-based clinical information taught by amazing instructors who bring the material to life. Carol Lewis leads two great hands-on courses in geriatric neurology and orthopedics. Learn more at greatseminarsandbooks.com. Great Seminars and Books, driving continuous improvement in geriatric rehabilitation.
Thought about a career as a traveling physical therapist? Arias Medical Group is a leading healthcare staffing agency offering full-time travel and direct hire career opportunities for PTs nationwide. Whether you're a new graduate or seasoned therapist, an exciting career is waiting for you. Dream it and live it with Arias. To learn more, call 1-800-340-2619 or visit ariasmedical.com. That's A-U-R-E-U-S medical.com.
Working out his orbicularis oris until failure.
DJ, please.
Jimmy McKay on the PT Pinecast.
All right, so we're asking all of our guests this weekend three questions from our sponsor, Arias Medical. First question up. besides where you've already lived and practiced PT, where is somewhere in the U.S. that you've always wanted to go and be a PT?
I would love to see the Midwest. Yeah. I haven't ever been out that way. So to be able to see some of the sites out that way and see how people in different areas of the country maybe practice a little bit differently.
Yeah. Second question is, what's something that you're either currently reading or maybe just read, and it can be PT or non-PT related?
There's an author that I really like. She's a social worker. Her name is Brené Brown.
Okay.
And she looks at what motivates people, components of resilience, so facing challenges, whether or not there's any type of shame associated with failure, how willing we are to take a chance. And when we take a chance and that chance doesn't turn out, how do we make that right? How do we deal with it? So the book that I'm reading, the first book I read was called Daring Greatly, What It Takes, the bravery and courage it takes to live authentically. And the book that I'm reading now is called Rising Strong. So it's more about resilience. What happens when you dare and you fail?
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
So yeah, she's a social researcher as well.
Third question on three questions. Who is someone else in the field of physical therapy that we should know more about?
There's a group of people that did a session on motivational interviewing at the annual conference in June in Nashville, and it was absolutely fantastic. Janet Besner, Texas State, and then Beth Black and Mary Sue Ingman, they were the ones that did the presentation on MI. Beth Black recently had an article published in PTJ that looked at the effects of health behavior counseling from the perspective of the patients, whether or not it contributed to patient satisfaction, and what the patient's perception was of the PT's role. Like, you know, sometimes we'll hear people say that it's not really the physical therapist's role to counsel our patients about their personal behavior choices. And what she actually found was that it contributes to patient satisfaction.
I bet.
It demonstrates an interest, and it demonstrates empathy and compassion. So by counseling our patients, even if we don't have a positive outcome in terms of the health behavior change itself, we are building rapport and strengthening our image as professionals.
That's great.
This is The Parting Shot.
So a lot of students here at the conference this past weekend, put on by the American Physical Therapy Association, but a lot more couldn't be here. If you were to address all physical therapy students in all 3 years and physical therapy assistant students, what's one parting shot of advice you'd want to give those students going forward?
We always talk about evidence-based practice. One of the most important things that I think we do as physical therapists across the board, regardless of which practice pattern we're working in, is patient education. We talk about evidence-based practice and different types of manual therapy, different modalities. We should talk about it in relation to patient education as well.
Yeah.
Motivational interviewing is actually really well supported by the research, and it works under a variety of conditions. It works well for physical activity recommendations. It works well, obviously, for tobacco cessation. It's worked well to strengthen rapport and buy-in from our patients with traumatic brain injuries. So I would definitely encourage people, even if you don't use the entire technique, probably the best thing that you could pull away from it is just asking your patients whether or not your recommendations sound reasonable and if it's something that they'll be able to feasibly do when they leave your care.
I like that. Rose, thank you very much for taking some time out at this busy weekend at National Student Conclave. Lots going on, but I appreciated it because I think the topics that you talked about, talked about much. And I like to know that they're out there, especially that a PT is doing it.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Kissing asses and raising glasses. It's the PT Podcast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that. This is The Parting Shot. Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.